Hey all, Alex here with a quick word before the show. Between the recording and publishing of this episode, Don't Nod responded to But Why Those requests for comment regarding medical warnings in their new game, Lost Records Bloom and Rage. A proper epilepsy warning will be added to the game in the next patch. This is great news, and we want to thank Don't Nod for listening to community feedback and taking this issue seriously. We believe the wider conversation we have in this episode to still be relevant, but felt it important to clarify that the original problem is being addressed. And now, on with the show. Welcome to But Why Though, the podcast, a roundtable conversation about all things pop culture. I'm your host, Alex. I'm joined this week by Kate.
Hi.
And Sarah.
Hello.
And Sarah, you are a special guest this week. Do you want to introduce yourself a little bit? Pump yourself up?
My name is Sarah Musnicki. I am a writer and editor for But Why Though.
Senior editor for But Why Though.
Yeah, let's see. What else? I like K-dramas I have a cat named Jupiter who will likely be in and out of this call because he does what he wants. I don't know what else to say. Go Canada! We just beat the USA. Woo!
Yeah! Woo! Heard about that. Didn't get a chance to watch, but I've heard it seems like it was a pretty good game.
It was a good game. Note, I'm not Canadian. I am American, but, you know.
But you're in Canada.
But I am in Canada. I'm in Canada. Yeah. So, you know, hey.
Yeah, you had to root for the home team.
I just rooted for Canada for the sheer audacity to rename the Americano the Canadiano. And
Canadiano's
I'm here for it.
Fun.
It is,
it's more
right?
fun to say.
Also, the Americano is a bad drink. It is just espresso and water. Like, it's don't order Americanos. If you do that, I question things. I see everybody get them in K-dramas, and I'm like, why? That is literal bean water.
But yeah, this week we're going to talk about content warnings, how to do them right, what they constitute, and how to use them effectively, and all that stuff. But before we get into that, other than coffee, other than Canadianos, and other than Canada winning against the U.S. in hockey, what have you guys been enjoying this week?
Reacher season 3. Reacher, the proof that bad TV is actually the pinnacle of television, and you all can fight me on that. Like, it is very funny how much this show is just like, it's just good. It's good. It's big man doing big man things, but with a also big heart to match big man. And it's funny because, and if you are listening to this right now, it is releasing weekly after right now. So you've not gotten to this episode, but I will say the episode in which Reacher fights even bigger Reacher is fantastic.
Is that a character name?
No, it's just a man who's like 7'4". His name
okay,
is all
yeah, that so is bigger.
So Reacher is played by Alan Richson. This man is played by Oliver Richards, and he's like a Dutch bodybuilder, and he's 7'4" tall.
The Dutch, aside from me, are a tall people, so.
Right? And like, but I think like the reason, and I cannot articulate this, I did just write like 1,000 words on it, so you can read that on boiler.net, but there is an understanding in Reacher on how to really execute a formula well. And I think that that's something that the traditional streaming TV shows are missing from a lot of the old syndicated shows that we used to get. You can do the same thing every season, but you have to know how to hit the mark when you execute it. And you have to do something different, but within the theming and using the same archetype. So that's what the show does really well. And the action's great. Richson knows everybody's there for his abs. If you're not there because you're a dad and there for espionage, like those are the two lanes, and it leans in hard. So
abs and espionage can overlap. That's a Venn diagram.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
James Bond taught me that.
yeah, that's what I got. That and I think the embargo's up by the time we're talking about this. 2 Point Museum. It is released by Sega. It's a little management sim where you make a cute little museum. It's great. I've stayed up till 4 a.m. playing it because I didn't realize what time it was.
I need to get that. And I'm actually, now that you said Sega, I'm also remembering I need to pick up Pirate Yakuza in Hawaii.
Yes.
Which is the most perfectly titled game in history.
Yeah, I believe Matt Stwinski, who is one of our writers, said that it was the best of the Yakuza spinoff games and yes. a blueprint for future spinoff games that will be done in games. So, glowing recommendation
I love that.
From our site.
Nice. What about you, Sarah? What have you been enjoying?
After getting through the Valentine's Day review pile, This week I've been taking it a lot slower. Kate's laughing because last week was insane for Valentine's Day releases. So I've been revisiting some now old. I'm watching Oh My Ghost. I started a rewatch of You Are Beautiful, which came out in like 2009. And it's been really interesting seeing how differently things are shot now that 10 years, 15 years have passed. So that's what I'm watching. If you guys need newer K-dramas, Mellow Movie just came out on Netflix. It really feels like it taps into film fans and TV fans because it deals a lot with the film industry, the making of movies, film criticism. But it also has a love story at its center that I think people will like too. And then funny thing about Reacher season 3, because I have to plug my partner, he also worked on that show.
Was he the abs?
No. Those abs work so hard. No, he works in locations, but yeah, he's going to be starting season 4 later on this year. And so
nice.
Yeah.
More big man.
That's exciting.
Yes. More big man. Lots of big man. Yes.
The biggest men. For me, for some reason, like, how do I put this? The world's incredibly bleak, and this has nothing to do with that. I've just been having, like, a weird, angsty white boy week, where my things are American football, the band, not the sport. I'm sure you guys, I would assume you've maybe heard of them, or heard, like, the one song of theirs that was really big. What I appreciate about American football is this is a bunch of dudes who made a band in college. They released one CD in 1999, and then college was over, so they all just went to their hometowns and broke up, and then that album went on to be, like, a cult hit in the emo and math rock genre, and,
math
like, a
rock?
Defining sound. It's more about, it's not actually about math, it's about, like, time signatures and
tunes. Okay.
And,
yeah. That's cool.
But, yeah, so it became, like, this, like, huge album, and then they, in 2016, got back together, released a new album, and then I think in 2018 released another. All of the albums are named American Football, which doesn't help at all. But yeah, I like their music. I think it's fun. And then the other thing is I just today decided to rewatch The Perks of Being a Wallflower, which is like such a good movie. But I just like to watch it because I like to look at it. There's like a very film grainy, like floaty, dreamy quality to it. Just the way that it's shot, the way that it's lit, and it's very pleasant to look at. So those have been kind of what I've been indulging in this week, but not because I'm like, oh, look at me, I'm such a sad white boy, just like this is stuff I want to engage in, this is stuff that makes me happy. But yeah, so I do appreciate your suggestions. K-dramas, Reacher, all of that, abs, always a recommendation.
So many abs.
Here. Yeah.
Also be a sad white boy watching abs and espionage.
I could add, well, so my espionage is that I'm still reading Hummingbird Salamander. and that's the closest I'm going to get to that right now. But yeah, so if you want to be found online, where can people find you online, Kate?
You can find me at @OmamethRandier on Blue Sky. I'm technically still on Twitter. I don't use it that much at all, really, unless there's something I wrote that I want to go on there. And Instagram, where I just like post like I'm sad, but at least I'm in my hot girl era story like once a day to make myself not feel bad about the impending doom of the world.
And Sarah, where can you be found online or your writing?
So you can find my film criticism currently at But Why Though. I plan on staying here for as long as Kate continues to love me. until she's like, no, please go away. And I'll be like, okay. I'm currently on a social media deactivation hiatus. But if I ever reinstate it, you can find me at Sarah Muse Nikki or Tato Muse. Think potato and then Muse as in like
love that
artist Muse. Because I really like potatoes.
Potatoes are an inspiration. I get it.
I love potatoes. And so it's good. Just, you know, I'm making it
work.
Hey,
you want to scrap this episode topic and talk about potatoes and ways to prepare them?
Potatoes are a foundational meal. You can mash them and put them in a stew. And that's important.
I was going to say, we are in our Hobbit era.
We are. I made venison stew today. So, yes.
Ooh, okay.
Which I will say, as a small piece of news,
yeah,
the Tales of the Shire got moved to July. So I don't get to be a Hobbit.
Honestly, heartbreaking. I need the dopamine.
Yes. Yes. We need true Hobbit eras. Gone is the Goblin era. It is all about the Hobbit era.
I don't think I'll ever leave Goblin era, to be honest. But goblins also like stew. So, you know.
Goblin era is just like night mode Hobbit era, right?
Yeah. That is just Smeagol.
Yes.
That's true. Yeah. But okay. So, with all that said, let's get on to the main topic.
Yes.
Content warnings and kind of how that all works. So, doing like the briefest possible flyover of this, usually when people hear like content warning, they go to like trigger warnings and trauma triggers. And that is absolutely a part of it. That's like a rooted psychological concept. It's very real. It's for like external stimuli causing involuntary trauma responses and things. And so the idea of like saying, hey, this thing that might set you off is here, and we're giving you this as a warning because we recognize that that's like not something we want to subject people to. But that's not all that we use it for. We also use it for medical warnings. Like flashing lights is a very easy one. I think at this point, most people or people who would listen to this podcast know about the Porygon episode. I assume you all are familiar.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that was, yeah, it was an episode of Pokemon aired in Japan, and just mass epilepsy, like through just all these kids tuning in and not knowing that that was coming and that there would be just a bunch of strobing lights. And then we also use it for things like giving cultural context. I think pretty famously, they recorded a whole bunch of like pre-show ones, I think for like Tom and Jerry and other old cartoons.
Yeah.
To just be like, hey guys, heads up, this is racist. Like,
yeah,
we just want to tell you that. And I mean, that's like not quite a part of this conversation, but like the idea of like a pre-show.
Yeah, it anything. Is. Yeah. And I think that that's like the important thing is like all of these technically stand in different categories.
Yes.
And that's the important part about it. But or even like Indiana Jones actually had a content warning at the beginning because you see Nazi imagery throughout the entire thing because you're in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, so like there's like all kinds of reasons that we do this. It lets people avoid things that they don't want to engage in. It lets people engage things more carefully. And it's not anything new. Like if you've ever seen a movie get a rating, that's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
There's V chips that are like, this is Y7 for fantasy violence. Or my favorite is the Twister intense depiction of like bad weather, I think is what it was.
Smoking is one as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just you like get, movies you, started getting so specific. With they what did they warn you about.
Well, and a lot of it is because of the content boards. Like, and that's like the other thing that like, people don't realize a lot is there are people who review this and it changes based on the times. Honestly, smoking used to not be, and now you automatically get jumped into the next rung if you show smoking because it's you don't want kids to do it.
There was a whole thing with Stranger Things where people were like, hey Netflix, why are you showing my kids people smoking? And it was like, because it was the 80s and that's what people did.
Yeah.
But yeah, and so this is not, to be clear, like an episode about like the discourse around, you know, where people are like, do we really need this? Like, I think we're all kind of on the same page that like these serve a purpose.
Yes.
Some of them serve a purpose.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Fair. Yes.
That is the bigger thing is I think it is less interesting to say we don't need them. And it is more interesting to say, how do we implement them?
Yeah.
How do we look at what actually helps people and how do we not obfuscate the actual intention of them?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. I was just like,
No, that's it's very worth saying, because the other thing is that this is ultimately something that no piece of art will ever fully prep people for everything that could in theory be like a smell can be something that triggers something. Like you will never actually account for every individual one, and it's like broad concepts are kind of more useful. So like how it gets implemented, and this kind of came to the front because of a recent game or upcoming game.
It came out. Yes, it is. It's out now. Okay. Just launched.
And this is Lost Records, Bloom and Rage from Don't Nod Entertainment, mm-hmm. who made the Life is Strange series.
Original, right? Life is Strange.
Deck Nine makes it now.
Yeah. Gaming's weird. But yes, they're known for the visual novel piece. They've also been a publisher for a lot of pretty interesting indie games recently, too.
Yeah. So they put out this game that had content warnings. Kate, do you kind of want to... I feel like you had more familiarity with it. You want to explain what they did here?
Yeah, I'm going to try not to sound like an asshole. So I do have a whole piece if you want to get like in depth and like read it. It's on the website. Go to it, read it. But essentially what they did is there is an issue in games because content warnings are also tied to spoilers sometimes, where they've been going back and forth of, do we say this? Because if we put it out right, we can spoil everything. There was a game that I reviewed a long time ago called The Medium. There's childhood sexual assault in that game that's referenced. You don't see it or anything, but it is referenced. I was not prepared for that. The beginning just said there are dark themes. And it's like, that's dark themes,
is too broad.
Yes.
Like, I know I said pull back and do big picture, but just like, that's, hey guys, this gets kind of tough. Is yes. Like, that's garbage.
Exactly. And so like, that was a lot of the responses to that. That was my response in my article about it. And I actually like was asked by PR who were great to handle it. They were just like, that is a spoiler. Can you at least put it down in the article? And I was like, no, we'll figure this out. And so essentially what Don't Nod did on the surface is smart. When you load up the game, you go through the title credits, and your very first time loading up, you will get a screen that says content and trigger warnings. You can toggle it if you want. You do not have to. You can go to the next screen without pressing it. Oh yeah, because
it basically just says, hey guys, there are warnings if you want them.
Exactly. And so if you toggle it, you get this specific thing. This game contains explicit language, casual homophobia, weight and body image issues, underage drug and alcohol consumption, sexual content, illness and discussion of illness, blood, domestic violence, flashing lights, and sudden loud sounds. One of these things, many of these things, are not like the others. And the reason this is an issue is that Don't Nod also had a QR code attached to that where you could scan it and go to a entire page where they've broken down everything into, how do I say it? Very specific categories. Like if you have agoraphobia, they mention that there are spider webs that you may see in the game. It's hyper specific in a way that feels really weird. But the issue with what this was is that flashing lights gets one mention, it's at the top, and they do nothing to prepare the audience or understand the difference between a necessary medical warning that will cause physical harm to somebody and a spider web.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, leaving out
I think
out
I summed
why...
it up.
Yeah, I mean, because so the two big things here are like, one, leaving out why flashing lights might be an issue. And then two, I feel like that if you're going to give all those other things a breakdown, you also say like, I mean, something about like, here is where in the story it happens, or if there's a way to disable it, you know, like go to set it. Like there are so many things that you can do to make that a more useful guide for your players.
The traditional one, and this is the one that's kind of used across the industry, is a very small percentage of people may experience a seizure when exposed to certain visual images, including flashing lights or patterns that may appear in video games. Even people who have no history of seizures or epilepsy may have an undiagnosed condition that can cause these photosensitive epileptic seizures while playing video games. It is something that is usually that. And then it usually says immediately stop playing if you have symptoms. And that's like kind of like the title card that usually gets put, I would say, on like 90% of video games now.
Oh yeah, and it like pops up while the game is loading.
Yes,
it's like it literally is just like, here's who made the game, and then by the way, this might trigger epilepsy, and then here's the title card for the game.
Yes.
And so when it's done that way, it's great. But what Don't Nod has done is, I don't want to say completely useless, but functionally
it's useless.
Yeah,
it's attempting to make the game accessible without truly being accessible is
Yeah, it's like lip service to accessibility of like, hey guys, we're going to warn you about all these other things. And then like the one and the reason that this is different, not that psychological traumatic triggers are not important to, you know, give people a warning on or respect, those don't necessarily immediately endanger your audience.
I won't lose my license if I accidentally come across a domestic violence scene versus if I have a seizure but I, because of some flashing lights that I was unable to find a warning for, you know, that's the key difference here is, you know, I could accidentally die
like literally like, oh cool, I could be like playing Home Alone and like fall out of the chair and like what, like so many things can go wrong with this. And so for them to like put it behind something and give no context or warning, like
I think the other thing too, in a world where we're really connected and Don't Nod had a very large streaming campaign around this too, it's not just you playing the game that's also going to be affected. If you're playing a game with somebody in your home who's photosensitive, if you're playing a game to an audience of people who are photosensitive, like there is so much ways for this to spread that it is just willfully dangerous to not do that. And I think Sarah hit the nail on the head when she said like it feels a lot of an attempt of accessibility that doesn't actually understand what makes a game accessible. And I think that that's like the important things is bottom line, content warnings are an accessibility issue. However, so are medical warnings, and that is important not to put them together. I think the more that I thought about this, the more it felt like either they had a consultant who should not maybe be consulting on this specific issue, in the politest of ways that I can say it, or they were being hypersensitive to things they had read online about what needed to be flagged, which then buried the fact that there's a physical issue where somebody could lose their life.
Yeah. And it, I think it's the lumping of it together too. And it just feels like there's a lack of care and understanding too. Which I mean, like, It feels bad in a way that when you had first pitched this as an idea for an episode, I was like, yeah, this is good. And then I read your article and was like, oh, this is like, I mean, obviously they didn't do it out of a place of malice, but like, it feels really bad.
I messaged Sarah immediately. Sarah edited the article because obviously, as Sarah has said, like she deals with that. And I messaged Sarah immediately. I was like, Sarah, am I crazy? I feel like I'm crazy. Is this wrong? Because everybody was writing like Don't Nod did this giant list of trigger warnings and nobody was calling that.
No. Well, and because their list was so extensive, I'm sure people didn't go through it in its entirety. Or if they did, they were just like, oh, this isn't a problem. And the fact of the matter is, like, one, it is a problem. But two, I think oftentimes people don't understand the actual severity if it doesn't directly or indirectly impact them, which could be said about a lot of issues, right? I immediately told Kate she wasn't crazy. This is a big issue. You know, I'm used to people just not giving warnings, at least in the film and TV space. So that's always fun for me to navigate personally. But I wouldn't think to go to a toggle screen to expect a warning for flashing lights.
Yeah.
It generally, it's kept separate. And so the decision to lump it all together is an interesting one.
Yeah. And I think it's also I'm realizing that one of the issues by not providing additional detail is that like you can read that and be like, oh, like that might give me a headache. I don't like flashing lights. And it's like, hey, dude, that's not the risk that they're listing this for at all.
Yeah.
And so, I think stripping it of context, both in the story and in real life is like kind of incredibly damaging.
Because I think like one of the ways that like they could have maybe salvaged some of it, I still don't think it salvages burying it in a toggled menu, but they could have done, hey, when you use the camcorder, purple and pink flashing will start happening because it's replicating a glitch of like a VHS tape, but it happens quickly. They could map that out so people know, hey, you can do this, because they actually do have a fairly wide range of motion sickness, because I get ridiculous vertigo motion sickness when I play games. They have a really robust thing to turn stuff on and off, but you wouldn't know to go to any of that for anything, because it's also all lumped in with motion sickness too. I think that could have helped a little bit, but we still kind of wind up in the issue where somebody may not get it. And I think one of the big things for me is it worries me, because like I've been in DEIA for 10 years now, and like we're seeing such a large pushback against it and any sort of things pushing practices towards accessibility and inclusivity. And what frustrates me is that, I'm gonna say this, I'm gonna sound like an asshole, but like the depth at which this list, their like Don't Nod's list goes into, is kind of ridiculous. Like it is very specific in ways that I cannot understand. And it feels almost like a parody, or the stuff that would make one of those people that hates inclusivity projects point to and be like, this is this what you is need a problem. Warning for. Exactly. Yeah. And yeah, because I think, yeah, it frustrates me, because it's kind of like giving people the ammunition to attack these kinds of things, because I don't think it's well thought out. And personally, I don't think more expansive lists are good. Ultimately, I think the way that they did it with like you can choose to go to them and it's like housed off there and like that's a personal choice to go through there, I think that's fine. But I also think if you don't care if people die if they play your game, it defeats the point.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's I mean, if a game like Grounded can go through the effort of having an arachnophobia warning and a slider to adjust the spiders until they're palatable to you,
yeah,
then maybe we could have done a little bit more here. You know, like they literally, there were multiple, like, I think it's like a four or five stage, like, and the last one is, it's just an orb. Like, which there's nothing to make it a spider.
That scares me.
Honestly, it was weird when I played it, and I turned it to that just to see what it was like. And I was like, this is weirder. This is a lot weirder. But my point is, yeah, just like if they can go through that effort of like having multiple animation models and all this other stuff, and you can't be bothered to be like, hey, here's a medical warning. Here's the page where you turn it off. By the way, it doesn't matter if you're diagnosed or not, this could still be a risk. Like, it's a lack of effort and endangerment. And like, not to harp on that point, but like, it's just so frustrating.
How do you, Sarah, because I know you read through all of it too. Like, what were your thoughts?
I mean, you and I have talked about this before, but like, I almost thought the full list was a joke. You know, I trying to phrase my thoughts, because growing up the way that I did, there were there were barely any accommodations, and now we've gotten the complete drastic swing, at least in this case with the warnings, to like too much. But to your point about it feeling almost like a parody, I legit thought it was a joke. Like, I thought maybe they were just like wink wink nudge nudging as soon as I started going through that long list, because some of the things on there were ridiculous. And still questioning why the flashing lights were included in that list, because almost everything else was just content.
To give people context, so on the list, the bottom part of it is the list where I think it gets out of hand. It says bugs, and it says Swan likes bugs. She has pictures of them and a pet stick bug. You can look at it close up. It doesn't move much. Next bullet point. You can see insects when zooming in with the camera. Spider webs. Bodily harm. It's possible for somebody to get hurt while playing a game. Blood. Nosebleed. Other. Moving cars. Tryptophobia. Hunting paraphernalia. Fire.
Fire?
Mentions of ghost paranormal. Jump scares. Mild. And being trapped in a building.
No, it ridiculous.
Like, also, I mean, the very first thing on this entire list is use of swear words like shit and fuck.
Including by teenagers, in parentheses.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's where it crosses a line.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what's going to make me not play this game. But yeah, it is just like, as like I pulled that up as you were talking about it, and it is, like you said, it's comedic. Like, this feels like a parody of what these lists are supposed to be.
Yeah.
And there's, I don't know, I mean, I don't want to say like too much of a good thing, but like too much of a good thing and not enough of the thing that you actually needed. Like,
yeah, which I think if we look, like, because I know we don't like to, not to roast Don't Not explicitly, and to look to what we can do in the future. I do think that there are ways to do expansive pieces, but it's also understanding that, like, there's kind of a set understanding of what content to warn people about for the most part. It changes, but things like sexual assault, domestic violence, like, a lot of these things, it's not saying that if you're scared of bugs, you shouldn't know if there's bugs in a game. But, like, there are also, like, nuances and complexities when representing content and what that content shows. And in order to present content warnings in their original intention, which is to help somebody avoid or prepare to experience a reaction to something, that, like, that is just different. And I say this, like, from a personal place, too, because I don't want people to think I'm just shitting on content warnings. Like, I have a history with domestic violence. I need to know. I like to know most of the time if I go into a movie. Usually it doesn't affect me too much, but It Ends With Us was marketed as a rom-com.
Oh my God,
that is the one movie. Yeah, they, like, sent out big things of flowers. They did flower stands for it. That movie is all about domestic violence. I could not go to the screening for an alternative reason, but when I found out about that, that would have been a situation where I probably would not have been okay and would have ended up just, like, walking out and going home. Not because I can't watch it, but because I was, like, viscerally unprepared to watch it.
Yeah.
So I understand the importance of content warnings, but it just seems like, kind of like Sarah said, like, when they are this deep, it kind of feels like a joke because it doesn't actually feel like you're focused on preparing somebody for a reaction so much as just listing things that could potentially unsettle someone. And I think those are two different things. Sarah, I don't know if you have, if you think differently or your own relationship with them.
So I am fond of, well, not fond. I appreciate content warnings similarly to you because I have a history of not so great things happening in my life that, you know, if the marketing doesn't cover it, a content warning can help there, you know, because there have been movies that I have walked in where I've been like, what the heck? What is this? Promising Young Woman. I have huge beef with how everyone hyped that film up and no one talked about the last 10 minutes of it. And so I was, no one warned of any of that. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to spoil it for anyone in here, but I was pissed. Because that was something that I needed a warning about for myself. But you know, there most films are pretty cut and dry in terms of what you may be getting, with the exception of the Blake Lively movie. But yeah, to bring it back around, you know, it's, the thing about accessibility is you always have to make sure that you're also not infantilizing the people you're trying to accommodate. And whether or not that was the intention, it's the list itself and all of its extensiveness is a little bit infantilizing in some ways, because
the stick bug one especially.
Yeah. And so it again, content warnings are important, but you have to find the balance between treating your customers like adults and also giving them some warning to what they may be experiencing within reason.
Totally.
To me, the Don't Nod company just went a little a little too far with the accommodations.
Definitely. I read a book a few years ago that at the start of the book, like in the foreword by the author, is like, by the way, there's like a pretty gruesome death scene. Or like, I think they just said like a pretty gruesome scene will warn you. And then like literally you read a chapter and it's and it seems pretty bad. And then when you like turn to the next chapter, it's like, hey, by the way, this is it. If you don't want to read it, skip ahead. And then what follows is like a description of like a beam falling in a collapsing, burning building and smashing someone's skull in half. And it's like, yeah, that's something that people maybe don't want to read and maybe have a hard time like processing. Mm-hmm. Or they're like, all I need to know is that that character died. I do not need to read grisly detail.
Yeah.
And that one, I actually, when I first read it, I was like, I don't know how I feel about this, but in hindsight, I kind of like how they handled it, where they're just like, by the way, something gross is going to happen. And then as they lead up to it, they're like, if it wasn't clear now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it is. Oh, go ahead.
Well, and I was going to say, it makes it a little bit easier when you're reading it too, because there's still, well, and the choice is there versus say like a film or a game. If the choice is taken away from you, then you're left with, well, do I just stop playing the game completely, or do I see what's going to happen and risk the chance of, in the case of the flashing lights, potentially exposing myself to physical risk?
Yeah,
like if watching Indiana Jones like paused and was like, hey, if you don't want to see a Nazi's face melt off, please fast forward this long, I'd be like, what the hell is going on? Like, you can't do it in that format.
And
I think you're right, that's why it's important to kind of get it right earlier, because you can't do it in line.
I think too, one of the things that I find really interesting is like the largest conversation around this, and I think Sarah kind of nailed it too, like reading is a little easier just because like we can stop real quick and you know, adjust. But when I think about like, this is, how do I say it? Like a balance between ensuring people can engage with media that may unsettle them to have larger conversations, and also preparing them to have those conversations. And I think that those two things go in tandem, but the medium that you're going through can make it more difficult. I think there, to bring up video games as well, Boyfriend Dungeon was a big one where people complained because they didn't know that you as a character is a dating game. It's a dungeon crawling dating game. It's amazing. It's probably one of my favorite games. They had a really extensive list of content warnings. They even had it to where you as the character could choose to not talk to your mom. Like, you could change the name from mom to something else if you had issues with that, as a way to help you immerse into it while understanding not everybody has a great relationship with their parent. Like, it was a developer team that was very specific and intentional in their long list to prepare people, but they ended up getting raked over the coals for it because they didn't include stalking, which is what you go through as a main character. And the reason they didn't is because the entire purpose of the game is to, or at least I believe the entire purpose of the game, is to teach you the ways in which it manifests. It's to, like, I found it very helpful in, it always goes back to explaining why what this person did who's trying to date you but you don't want to date him was wrong. People around you tell you and comment on it. And it's actually, I think, very informative, because a lot of the times people don't understand what that behavior looks like. But the internet interneted and got mad at them for it. And they ended up changing and I believe including it after that. And I think that that was a big turning point when it came to games and content warnings. Surprisingly, that over the one I mentioned earlier about the medium and the section of the childhood stuff, which I think probably would have been, should have been a bigger one. But I digress. And what happened there is you saw people going both ways. You saw people who may have been with content warnings at first completely turn away and just discount it as, yeah, Tumblr's attacking them. Because it was a little silly, especially because the team behind it were very intentional with how they crafted the game, what they were showing, what it was doing. It wasn't exploitive or anything like that. And then you had the other side who was like, well, no, they're right. We need to list absolutely everything. We need to list
But you'll never
the
do
the smallest
that.
Word. We need to cover everything. Yeah, and that's reality. You can't. So if no. you as a developer understand that you're never going to be able to hit every list, but you cover the big things, I think it's fine. But I think a lot of what happened with Boyfriend Dungeon is why we end up with the list that looks like for Lost Records, is that I think some people who understand that their audience is from a certain demographic, I will say, more progressive leaning. That is the types of games that Donut has produced. It's what Life is Strange is. It's what the entire Life is Strange series. But I also think with that, there is a purity test that a lot of people put everything through. And I think that that is where it kind of pushes away intention and makes everything extremely personal. And that's something I have had to learn about doing when I get angry at something, right? Like, is this something that ticks me off? Or is this something that is detrimental to a community? And I think that because the way social media, quote unquote, advocacy has worked in certain spaces, there's none of that thought. And I think it's affected games particularly harshly, especially because we have the shitty people on the other side being bigots, right? Like, so it gets really hard to balance.
The irony is that a list like this plays into the hands of the bigots, who would be like, see, this is
they warn you about bugs
they warn you about a stick bug that doesn't move that much.
Also, stick bugs are cute. Like, I don't understand cute. Guys, they're adorable.
Yeah,
they just,
well, so
just
I think
their lives.
To dissect that one real quick on a tangent. So, warning, there's bugs in the game. If someone is truly afraid of bugs, they're like, okay, good to know. And then it's like, you can zoom in if you want. And it's like, well, I'm already not into bugs, so I'm not going to do that. And then they're like, and if you do zoom in, it doesn't move. And it's like, what the fuck are we doing here?
That, like, goes back to Sarah's comment. It's infantilizing. I didn't even think about that until you said that right now, Sarah. Like, I...
Oh, yeah. No, that's the struggle.
Yeah. God, it's... And going back to what you were saying, Kate, I think there's also that thing of... And this is kind of the internet's fault, too, in a way, is that we have such a no-spoilers mentality around all media we engage in that people oppose this.
Yeah.
Where they're like, well, you can't mention that that's in there because it's a spoiler. And to some degree, I understand the idea of, like, with the dungeon game, where it's like, well, actually, spoiling this also kind of ruins the effectiveness of the message that we're trying to communicate. Yep. And that's one thing, when it's, like, truly interfering with the intention and the craft. But there's other, like, you can warn people about things without it ruining, being, like, an actual spoiler. And even spoilers, like, that's another one that you are never going to make everyone happy on. Like, I have talked to people who think that hearing that an actor is in something constitutes something of a spoiler. And I'm like, if it is on the IMDb cast list, I don't know that that counts. Yeah. Unless they have, like, a secret identity that's also listed, that's not a spoiler. So yeah, just like that, that also feeds into this of, like, people opposing a very functional, useful tool because they don't want to know about something that happens later.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, I was reading through that list and I was like, oh, there's cars and fire in this. Okay, sounds like a video game. Like,
sounds like a coming of age story with girls who live in a small town and they go around and do things. Like,
they drive and they swear and they smoke weed and they talk about ghosts. And, like, okay, that, I don't know. Like, and not to, like, belittle anyone who does have, like, things around those topics, but, like, when you list it out the way they did, going back to Sarah's comment, like, it's just infantilizing and, like,
When you make a decision, you have to make the decision, and you also have to have the reasons as to why you made that decision and have a conversation about it. And you can change it if you want, but you can stand by it at the same time. But you have to be intentional. And you can't just react to every single thing. You can't just see a Twitter thread and pick that up. You can't just see that chuds on the internet are mad and then not do it. And I think that, like, there's a level of... Even the fact that all of us are clarifying our statements to make sure that somebody listening to this doesn't think that we're being mean, when if you listen to this podcast where we say capitalism needs to die consistently and you think we're on the other side, I don't know what to tell you. Me giving you that content warning that I don't think you're mean isn't going to do much, because you're probably already going to think the worst of me. And I think that there is so little good faith out there that people feel like they have to go above and beyond to do more, that they're losing the intentionality that should go behind going above and beyond. Because honestly, the functionality of the content warnings in Lost Records is very good. It is a choose your own adventure. Are you somebody who knows you have specific triggers? Okay, click get a short list. Okay, something on there more specific. Because I've heard it sometimes where people will say intimate partner violence, right? That's a phrase. It can mean everything from general domestic violence, like somebody being hit by their partner, to somebody almost being assaulted by their partner sexually. And that's a phrase that is really wide. So if I see that's on, that if that's on something and I click in and I find out exactly what it is, it's like, okay, cool, I can handle that. I can't handle that. And so like the apparatus that they built for trigger warnings is something more games should do. But the execution of it is the problem, and it's wound up in all of the things that we're talking about and all the things that we're feeling too, because it sucks. I think the internet did that. The internet made it so that everybody has to be reactive and scared, and that kind of sucks.
Well, and this may be a slight tangent, but I think at the end of the day, because we're so used to how the internet sort of just attacks people, if more gaming companies and really individuals as well just focus on the fact that you can never make people happy. You're never going to make people happy. So do what you can within your own limits without trying to anticipate what others are going to go after you for, because you're not going to think of everything first off, but also it'll be more freeing in the end if you're not constantly thinking about how your product is going to be attacked, because nothing's perfect. No one is perfect. You know, and at the end of the day, because I think they were trying to over anticipate, they made their content warnings list weaker and inadvertently devaluing the importance of content warnings and trigger warnings in the process, doing the complete opposite of what they likely were intending.
Yeah, it's the I know Matt and I have talked about this a lot. It's the Twitter preemption, where you're like, I want to talk about how much I like pancakes. I need to be very clear. This is not a comment on waffles.
Yes.
I need to be very clear. This is not like, you know, we are not going to get into breakfast discourse. We're not going to bring up sausage versus bacon. And it's like, we shouldn't have to talk like that. That's an insane way to do it. And I think you're right. Like, you should, when you make a game or a piece of art, go, okay, like, I think that we should do content warnings. And then you need to ask yourself, well, why am I doing this? Like, what's the point? What do I feel actually I want to, like, warn people of? What is going to clash with the story and what I'm trying to accomplish with it? And like, having a respect for your audience and, like, you know, just trusting them a little bit in the process too, because like we talked about earlier, like people read that list and then you have to also kind of read into it, because when you get two sentences on stick bugs and the word fire, like, okay, like, does somebody get like locked in a car and the car gets set on fire? Is there a campfire? Does someone's childhood home burn down?
Like, very like different that means, things.
And I think that's what's so confusing of this one. Like we've talked about, it's just like they had the intention, but they didn't really ask, like, well, but what do we truly want to accomplish here? Like, what is our priority? You know? And I think that also goes back to, like, there's this question of like, which of these are an accessibility thing and which of these are like an inclusivity, wanting more people to engage our thing. And like, what goes in front of and behind the checkbox? Like, what do we just put on the surface, like as a title card? Hey, this has flashing lights. Here's why that's a concern. And what is, hey, if you have some sensitivities, like, you might want to check out this page. And that's where you can list about, you know, fire and moving cars and whatever. Yeah, it's just you, it needs to be its own whole entire process and not something that, I don't want to say it feels tacked on, but like something that just does feel a little, you know, added after the fact.
Yeah, it really feels like a Twitter thread. It really, I've seen so many of those where they're like, I watched this thing. They didn't give you context, so I am here to give you context. And it's weird because, like, I'm not saying, like, the act of content warnings is weird, but more so that, like, a lot of it is done by people who don't experience those things, right? Like, a lot of the times it's like, oh, well, somebody may be scared by this nosebleed, so I'll mention that there's a nosebleed. When if somebody is just worried about seeing any type of blood, I feel like just blood covers that,
yeah,
you know? Mm-hmm. But if you're somebody who doesn't have a fear of blood, then you're going to think about all these different ways. And I think it's almost like that list, if we take it in good faith, feels mm-hmm. like a group of developers sitting at a table and talking about things that maybe will have an impact.
That I know someone who doesn't like this thing that's yes. in our game. And that's the other thing is, like, is this people don't like it, or is this it actually, like, is a trauma trigger? Like, yeah. this is actually related to something that happened to them. Okay. And I think you're right that it's the going back to a different episode entirely when we talked about the universal monsters and, like, what actually makes them scary, what's at the root of this, what's driving mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. That's kind of, I think, the better way forward as far as, like, constructing your list is, like you said, like, nosebleed. And it's just like, well, that probably isn't the specific thing that's bothering people here. Like, maybe it's like, oh, a nosebleed is how my dad found out that he has a tumor. And, you know what, like, sure, that could in theory be the thing for someone, but you should think a little bit broader to, because that's how broad categories is how you reach the audience that you want to reach without having a comedically long list.
Yes.
You say there is blood. You say there is substance use. You don't list off, like, well, some teenagers smoke weed and this person talks it, like, you just say, like, hey, there's substance abuse in this, like, and that's going to hit way more, and it's going to be taken maybe more seriously
yeah.
than seven different items about what different things are ingested.
Yeah, I can't remember. There was a game, I think it was a horror game that did it, but, you know, like, the screens as you, like, go into different zones. Mm-hmm. Well, one of those screens had, like, a content warning on it, and it was just like, in the same way games warn you about going past where you will get no more save points because you're now at the end of the game.
Oh yeah, are you sure you want to go?
Yes, this did it very similar, and I can't for the life of me remember the name, but it was this scene will contain themes like I think it was specifically it was family stuff or something like that. Okay. And it ended up being, like, a depiction of, like, a domestic violence situation in a home. And, but it just said, this next scene's going to deal with this. Continue. And it's funny because in the same way Sarah called out that reading lets you do that, I actually think video games are a pretty good space to do that with bigger themes. I think it's harder, but if you're doing a narrative-based game that is already moving slow, you can do that. It's like flipping a chapter in a book. And that is what some of these games, I'd say the games with the more extensive lists are games that are like visual novels or things like Life is Strange.
Mm-hmm.
This game in particular, there's not a lot of interactivity, but yeah.
This reminded me, do you remember the game South Park Stick of Truth?
Yes.
Okay, did you see what they did with that game
for the race
overseas?
Thing? Was it that one where they made the...
So there were a couple scenes that were banned in other countries, and okay. so they literally just, like, put up, like, I think in Australia it was a picture of, like, a crying koala, and then just, like, a paragraph explaining what would happen in that scene if you were playing this game in a different country.
That's actually amazing.
And then you hit next. Like, and so that's also a way that you can keep those narrative elements without making someone watch it or play it, mm-hmm. where it's like, this next scene contains, you know, domestic violence, press X to skip. And then if you, you know, press Y to skip, but get a description, because there are some people who I'm sure would be like, I don't need to know what happened. I just, the fact that a thing happened, like, I can figure it out.
Yeah.
But, like, there are ways to implement this that actually would flow in pretty smoothly with video. I mean, video games have a pause function. They literally have a stop button on what's happening. I don't know that there is a medium better suited for this, except maybe reading.
I had a thought and then it died.
Was it about the crying koala?
I mean, koalas shouldn't cry, but yes, that wasn't it, and it'll probably come to me after we're done. So
that's all right. It happens.
I will say, though, from to pull this back to like what the ultimate issue was, with like hiding medical warnings, from your perspective, Sarah, like, what do you think is like the best way to kind of handle those? Like, even outside of just because I would say like epilepsy is a big one. One of the things that I was wondering, too, is if we actually had more expansive medical warnings, people may be more aware of the accessibility options a game has. Like, Alan Wake had a you could turn down the decibel at which things rang at, which was good for me because I have tinnitus on and off. And it sucks and it gives me vertigo. And so I was able to drop that. And some have motion sickness features, which I need, but they don't tell you that they're there most of the time. You have to search them. So I am curious, like, I don't know what the answer is, but there has to be a better way.
I think the flashing lights one may be the easier one, because really, if you just mention it as the, if they're starting off with just a title sequence, you can just tack it at the very beginning of the title sequence. The gamer will likely pause to read the warning, I'm assuming. But that way it's just out there. To go even further, if like with the pink purple strobes when the camcorder is used, you know, the first time it gets introduced, there could be a warning. Like right before the character uses it, there could be a warning saying, hey, you know, just emphasizing or iterating, reminding the player, like, hey, this will trigger these strobes, proceed with caution.
Press this button to disable.
That's an easier one. I'm not familiar enough with games to understand the motion component, so I wouldn't know the best the best suggestion for that. I feel like if there was like an introduction to how to interact within the game, you could have a pop-up screen there giving you the option, but not all games have that, so that would require more thought depending on what the game was going to do and and whatnot. But really just giving, I think the easiest, not easiest, but like the common solution would be, as the player is starting, give them the options, present them with the options, whether it's the title sequence or them just learning how to interact in the world, play the game, you know, because that's where you would typically learn that stuff anyway, right?
I mean, that's like an increasingly popular style of tutorial where it's like, oh, press this button to run. If you want to remap it, here's how you do that. And like
more things all that need to do that.
It'd be really easy. Oh, and now maybe an insane idea that I had while we were doing this. If I have to watch commercials that have all the medical warnings around the pills that they're trying to sell me, why not just like slap a label on the Steam page of like, by the way, here's some medical concern, like just like a little section of like,
actually
these
smart.
Are things in the game. Cause then somebody didn't throw down $60 only to find out like, oh damn, this has flashing lights and no off button. I can't play it.
Yeah, no, that would be really smart. I mean, I think I know some have done it. I think so. Yeah, no, that would be amazing. I think one of the other things that I hadn't thought about too, because I've been thinking a lot about how I interact with games, because I did a preview of South of Midnight, and the standard way that I interact to get rid of my motion sickness is turn off motion blur and lower sensitivity to where I don't feel like I'm being slingshot around. In the preview build, they did not allow you to lower sensitivity or raise sensitivity. And so I was like, this is not good. And I was gonna dock it, but then I kept scrolling and I saw the accessibility options for motion sickness, in which it's a stop animation style game. So when you're standing still, you can see the slight moves like you would with a model. That's kind of, it's really cool artistically. But if you get motion sickness, it's not good.
It's not good.
And it has a snappy camera that zooms to like auto lock on where you're doing, which for some people can work. If you have motion sickness, not good. But it allows you to kind of turn them off. Hearing you kind of say that, like in general, what would have helped me would have been like as I'm going through my tutorial to like run and cut and whatever, those same pop-ups that had the animation could have been like, and you can turn off this or see more in the motion sickness panel. Just something like that. And it's weird because like I think the important thing, and I think this is what a lot of accessibility advocates talk about in games, is like it's not about taking anything away, it's about making things accessible that give people options. And I think that's the important takeaway, is you just have to give somebody the option to do something and trust them to do it.
Absolutely. I mean, and that the other thing too is like, as we're having this conversation, I'm very fortunate that I have like a pretty minimal list of things that are going to be an issue for me. Don't have medical concerns in playing games, and 100% none of the things that we've talked about implementing bother me. They do not impact my enjoyment of a game. They do not hurt me. Like for all the people online who are like, oh, this is dumb, this is a spoiler, this is being overly sensitive, this is babying people, it's like, it doesn't matter. Like it helps people at the end of the day. And if you, if the the hill you want to die on is people shouldn't be helped, then die.
I was gonna say to repeat to the people who are listening, if you have a problem with this, I don't know what to tell you. I'll come find you. You and I can have a discussion. There may be fisticuffs. You know, you could probably
absolutely.
You could probably defeat me with a flashing strobe. You know, to further bring
you
the
don't
point
tell
around
them your weakness.
They don't know what kind of flashing strobe could take me down, though.
Oh, that's true.
I'm not going to give them all of the answers.
That's why she didn't mention any of the movies that she couldn't watch. She can't let them know.
Smart.
You can't beat me. I'll beat you. That's how I know we're getting close to bedtime.
Yes.
No, I love that. That was very good. And yeah, I mean, like, really, like, what this, yeah, what this comes down to is just, like, making stuff accessible. And, like, don't you want people to be able to watch your movies and play your games and all this stuff? Like, these aren't bad things that we're talking about. It's just that you can do it wrong, I guess, is maybe the way to say it.
Yeah. I, look, make a flowchart. Producers love flowcharts. Like, when you're developers love make a chart. On one side, put, if I don't tell somebody this thing, they'll die. And then on the other side, do things that could make somebody feel really, really bad and crappy. And then one you like, everybody sees, and the one you put behind it. And then off, like, on another wall is things people will get mad at us for helping people. And that wall you ignore, because everything is going to be on there, because those people aren't happy. And it takes a lot of energy to be angry. So I will say, and I don't think anybody really cared about my article, so this probably won't have this effect, but Cyberpunk 2077 launched and gave somebody a seizure. Liana Rupert, who was working at Game Informer at the time, she had a seizure while playing Cyberpunk because of the glitch effects. They did not have a warning. She wrote about it on Game Informer. CD Projekt Red was like, oh my God, we are so sorry, this wasn't our intention, and immediately got to work patching it to put a warning in there. So there's precedent for being like, oh, yeah, this is bad, I should make sure people don't have a seizure. And then going back and putting it in. So like I meant to say that like up top, but yeah, like this is something that has happened in games before. It's up to Don't Nod and any other game that does this to have the willingness to want to help people and patch it out.
Yeah. And like, course correct. It's like the beauty of the internet and being able to update games is that you can fix this.
Well, and I was going to say, I practically gave like at least an idea of what other people could try to do for their games.
Yes,
because again, exactly. Totally. Title card or in the introduction bit, you can add something about flashing strobes or whatever. So here, I did free labor.
If you enjoyed this episode, we are online. We have more of this. We have more episodes. We have a whole website. You can subscribe to our newsletter and you can donate by going to buttwhytho.net/support. And that goes actually a really long way to keeping the site going, helping us get these reviews done and to discover these things and be able to tell you about them beforehand. It also keeps us making this podcast. So if you have liked our reviews or anything like that, just please consider donating, supporting us, getting on our newsletter. All of that is huge. And again, we are on Blue Sky at buttwhytho.net, right? That's the whole handle?
Yes.
It is. Kate, Sarah, thank you guys so much for joining me. I had a really good time with this conversation. Feel like I learned a lot. Feel like we came to some good realizations about this. And for you at home, thank you so much for listening. We will see you next time.
And remember, if you don't want to help people, you can die.
You can, honestly.
Oh my God.